Okay, so let's quickly summarize where we are. We'll keep doing this. And I know. Okay, thank God we're all healthy again.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly. Okay, so let's review what we did. So I'll start with what we did yesterday, okay? Yesterday we dealt with the question of, is Issur Shechora d'oraita or d'rabbanan? We noted that according to most Rishonim, it's d'oraita in some form, right? Maybe not a lav, maybe it's an Issur Aseh, right? Derivative of the word l'achla, derivative of l'tikra, but it seems to be d'oraita according to most people. Rashi says it explicitly, Tosafot says that explicitly. The Aruch might not say that, right? Where the Aruch, because basically the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about how cursed someone will be if he's involved in the avak of Shviat, right, in the dust of Shemitah, which the Gemara talks about as Shchora, if you're engaged in business, and talks about how you'll be cursed, and, right, your business will be cursed and the like. The Aruch seems to say that the Avak means Reach of, right, the scent of Shemitah, from which it might be in some of the Yechronim or Medayek that it's Derabbanan, but most people assume it's D'oraita. Okay, then we talk about three main models of the Issur Shchora, right? We talked about Rashi. Rashi doesn't seem to believe that Issur Shechora exists as an independent concept. He just doesn't, right? What he does say is very unclear, right? So we saw three models within Rashi that all said that Rashi really thinks Shechora is some sort of gzeirah for something else, right? So we saw the Pnei Yoshua, we saw the Netziv, and we saw the Rimi Lunil. The Rimi Lunil is the most extreme. The Rimi Lunil says, the reason you can't do Shechora, right, and sorry, what motivated Rashi was that the Gemara, in the context of talking about selling an etrog, says, why can't you sell it? And the answer is, ein mosrin demei perot shviat lamaretz. You don't give the money of Shemitah to an amaretz. So Rashi seems to assume that that's the same as Shechora, right? That's the same thing. And if that's the case, then what? Then Shechora itself seems to be some sort of, right, derivative of Gzera. So the most extreme was the Rimi Lunil, who says that you don't sell Peiro Tviat, because if you give it to an Amaretz, the Amaretz might take the money and not properly do the mitzvah of Bior when the time comes. But if in fact he does the mitzvah of Bior, then there was no Issur Shechora, right? The Netziv and the Bnei Yeshua both seem to trade it as a Gzera, and therefore if you sell it, you actually did do something wrong, but it's still only a Gzera, either that you won't do Bior, or you will otherwise mistreat it. The Ritva says, no. According to Rashi, the Issur Shechora is a derivative of Achila. Specifically, you're not allowed to make it that you can't eat Peiro Tviat. If you sell it for money, you didn't violate, because the money can be used to buy food, and the food will stay Kadosh. The only time you violate the Doraita of Shechora is if you sell Peiro Tviat to something that is not money, right? For services, for a slave, for something that will not take on Kedusha. But if you sell it to somebody who might not use it, so then you don't violate the Doraita of Shechora, you violate the Derabbanan of Ein Mosrin Demei Peiro Tviat La'am Haaretz. Right? According to the Ritva, the Rashi's Shechora is just an expression of the mitzvah of Achila.
They're two separate mysteries.
Correct. And that's why the Gemara in this case, right, calls it Ein Mosrin Demei Peiro Tviat La'am Haaretz, because Shechora itself is only when you make it legally impossible for the Kedusha to be transferred into food. But if you sell it for money, and now the money can be used for food, you don't violate Shechora, but if you give it to an Amaretz who won't use it for Achila, you violate the Rabbanan. Yes? Good. Then we saw Tosfos. There are two dead in Tosfos, but let's talk about Tosfos. Tosfos says, no, the only time you violate Shechora is if you're the one who picked it and sold it, right? But if Josh picked it and I sold it, no Shechora, right? Possibly, the Chazon Ish says that you would include in that prohibition if I appointed you my shliach to pick it so that I could sell it. Maybe, yes, maybe no. Why would you say that? What? Within Tosfos, right? And the reason to say this, as the Rav noted, is because this Tosfos seems to follow what we attributed to Richum Fishel Perla, which is the belief that Shechora is not its own Issur. What is it? A derivative of the agricultural Issurim, that you can't pick harvest in such a context that you're using it for the wrong purposes. Yes? Good. Then we move to the Rambam, who says, don't sell it in large quantities, sell it in small quantities. So, and Eli had said that the Rambam is saying this, and this is also the other day in Tezos, right? The reason is because the point is you're supposed to treat it as hefker and not as a mere commodity. And when you sell it in small quantities for people to eat, what you're doing is relating to it as not a commodity, right? It's basically hefker, which you happen to acquire, right? And we saw that in Tosa there's a shita, a second shita, that you might violate sora if you specifically buy with the purpose of, right, buy wholesale with the intention of selling retail, which again points to the idea that no, it's your sora is a standalone isser. Right? Treating it as a commodity is itself the problem. The Ritva tried to formalize it and say it's not just business, but what is it? Business, not l'shem achila. And therefore, if you sell up to 3 meals worth, which is the amount that a person eats in a day, then you don't violate. You sell more, you do violate. Then we moved yesterday to the question of, is it only on the mocheh or even on the lokeach? Right? So we said, according to Tosfot, it's 100% clear it's only on the mocheh. Because the whole point is if I pick and then sell, I have framed my picking in a problematic way. And that's only on the seller. Rashi, probably also on the seller. Right? Because the whole point is I can't sell it in such a way that it, right, it might not be used properly. Right? It's gzeira, which fundamentally is on the seller. The buyer, remember, I can't sell it to a buyer who might misuse it. But if the buyer misuses it, he didn't violate schora, he violated whatever. If he destroys it, then he was mafsid. If he doesn't do beer, then he didn't do beer, right? Meaning, but the point is that all these xerot of selling are on the buyer, on the seller. The buyer, right? The seller can't create a situation where the buyer misuses it. But if the buyer misuses it, he didn't violate sora. He violated whatever he violated. The Rambam was the one where things are less clear. Because on the one hand, you might say that only a seller can treat as a commodity. The buyer is just trying to eat food, right? On the other hand, you might say, no, a sale is defined by a buyer and a seller, and therefore, if I engage in this process, and this is the way Mishnah Yavitz takes it, and this is the way Josh took the Meiri, is that, no, if I am a buyer, I have now enabled you to sell. From the Nozi Yehuda, we noted that it might depend. Right? The Nozi Yehuda seems to say that if I buy it for my food for today, so then the seller violated, because he treated it as, you know, his business, but I bought it as my lunch. So therefore, I treat it as ochel, mutter. He treats it as sora, usser. But in theory, it sounds like from the Nozi Yehuda that were I to buy it, right? If I am Rami Levy and I bought it from the wholesaler, right? And now I'm going to sell it retail. So it sounds like according to Nozi Yehuda, then both of us would violate, right? Because once you say it's about business, we both treat it as a commodity rather than food, right? A commodity to be sold. What? So that's the question, right? What if I buy a very small amount, but that's all the money I want to make, right? Right, then you got to wonder, right? Meaning if I'm buying it, but specifically to sell on, right, you might say, if you say, look, objectively, whenever I buy, you know, a meal's worth, it doesn't matter whether it's for myself or someone else, that objectively is, right? So again, you could go in that direction. You could go in the direction of the Ritva, which is to say that, again, that you could go in that direction of the Ritva and say, yeah, if you, right, buy less than 3 meals, and even in small quantities, it is objectively just determined as this is not a business-like transaction, right? It's, again, we gave the mashal where, right, we all know that you can have a restaurant, right? We don't really view it as I'm buying my groceries, right? You know, I was reading last night, and maybe the end will come to this. I'm debating whether we do it at the end of this sugya or we wait as a Purim shir because there are other sugyos, but whether you're allowed to use Perish Shiyat for Mishloach Manot, right? But one of the points that's made there by Rav Yaakov Ariel, I think it was what I was saying last night, is that in theory, right, you could say, well, if I prepare the food, so then what I'm giving as my Mishloach Manot is not just the food, right? It's the effort I put into it, that's part of what I'm giving. Again, I don't want to get to Mishloach Manot yet. That's why, because it also relates to the nature of Mishloach Manot, right? But, right, and we said that even the same seller, right, you could have different contexts, right? Where, like we said, Benny, right, when we buy from Benny, it's a more commercial transaction, right? This is, right, we have an ongoing contract, as opposed to someone at Erev Shabbos who buys like one or two things from Benny to supplement a Shabbos meal, that's clearly ochel, right? We're relating to it differently. Right, and you could take it subjectively, right? You could say it depends on whether you're eating it or selling it on. It could be you go like the Ritva, that it's up to 3 meals, whatever. Okay, well, that leads us to that 10-minute summary. to Havla. So, if you remember in the Gemara had said, okay, let's say, back to the esrog case. So, you want to have an esrog, which is called a kedushas yid. How are you going to get it? So, ideal is?
Gift.
Then the Gemara says, what if the guy doesn't want to give it to you? So the Gemara says, be mavuya it. Right? Swallow it up in the sale of the lulav. Now, we said that there are two ways of conceptualizing havla'a, and based on how we conceptualize havla'a, it's going to further sharpen the way we view the isser of sora. Right? So we said that there's two ways you could view it. Right? One is that havla'a is another way of saying, motivating him to give you a gift. Right? So, for example, right? Guilt trip, and that's right. Very good. It's, oh, you don't want to give me your esrog as a gift? Yes, how about if I pay $500 for the lulav? Are you willing to throw in the esrog as a gift? And he says, oh, you know, I am feeling very gracious today. I am going to do the esrog as a gift. In fact, it's going to be a beautiful esrog. That's one way of conceptualizing havla, which is you motivate someone to give you a gift. The other way is to say, no, havla is literally you are swallowing up the payment. That it's usher to buy the esrog, but it's mutter to buy the arbaminim. Right? As a set, even though in theory you're paying for it. Right? Now, obviously, if you come down, so look at page 8, right? This is the Gemara. Lo, just to remind us of that line, lo ratza litin lo b'matana ma'u. He doesn't want to give it to you as a gift. Amar Rav Huna mavliya le dmei etrog
b'lulav. I feel like the second one is more intellectually honest. However, I don't think that it...
Oh, okay.
Like, not
so good. So now... Good. So now... Right? Before we look at the Rishonim, right, why would you say one, why would you say the other? Why would you say that the first model, what's the benefit of the first model and what's the
idea of the
gift? Very good. Right, the first model is very easy. Right, the first model, as much as you might think it's a harama, right, it's deceptive, at the end of the day, you're not buying the esrog. And if you think it's a problem to buy an esrog, so then you've solved the problem. I mean, it's a harama.
I mean,
now,
the second one only solves it by placing
it out. Oh, okay, good. Right? So, the svara for saying that havla'a doesn't mean what it means by Shabbos, right? Now remember, havla'a by Shabbos really does mean, it seems like I'm just not paying you directly. I'm paying you for what you did Friday and Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos, right? But, I mean, we'll see. But saying that havla'a here doesn't really mean we swallow it up. It means we motivate you to give a gift makes a lot of sense. Because the point is, it's usher to buy perot v'yit, and I'm not. Right? I'm just getting you to give it to me by paying for other things which I'm allowed to do. Right? Who holds that?
Rashi.
Right, Rashi says it. Mavliya le deme etrog belulav, yimkar lulav v'yoker, rashi yitin lo etrog v'matara. Right? Pay him enough for the lulav to the point where he says, you know what? Take it. Yalla, take the etrog. What about the Rambam? The Rambam... Not so clear. Because what does the Rambam say? Halokeach lulav me'amaret b'shviyit no tin lo etrog me'matana. If you need an etrog on Shemitah, what do? You get it as a gift. V'im lo natan lo, if he won't give it to you, or he didn't give it to you, mavliya lamo d'mei etrog me'dmei lulav. You swallow it up. Now, that's a bit, right, that's a bit unclear because, right, this... He doesn't clearly say it's a gift. He leaves us open with the same possibility, which is that mavliya literally means it's usher to buy an etrog. It's mutter by the arbaminim, and the etrog is one of those arbaminim. Now, what would the logic be for this? And this seems to be, right, the Chazon Ish takes this as the Rosh, right? And he says, Perish Rosh. Dahad amar mavliya deme etrog velulav. The Rosh says, what does it mean to be mavliya? You just buy it. And you don't designate money specifically for one or the other. You pay for the set. And now the Chazon Ish asks the obvious question, which you've been asking, which is, why? Hadavar Tema. What is Hadavar Tema? This is wonder. This is a shock. I don't understand. You are paying for the etrog. V'lama yihyeh mutter. So why should it be mutter, right? This is the obvious problem, which is if you take avla'a as such, you're still buying the etrog. So how does that solve the problem? Right?
So the original problem, the Mishnah, what you're trying to do. You're kind of giving the SOT for free, as if you wouldn't be related to the...
Oh, good. So, right. So the problem... Very good. So what Colby points out is that there's a benefit to the Rosh, which is that Rashi, it's not clear how Rashi is different, how Mavliya is different from Matana, right? They sound like, right? And right, what you might say is, right, that Matana means you just hope the guy will be nice and give it to you as a gift, and if that doesn't work, then you incentivize him to give it to you as a gift, right? But they're both gifts, right? But you're right, it's a bit hard because at the end of the day, Mavliya means Matana, which was the Hava Amina. Right? And the Rav puts it slightly differently, that the problem is that the Rashi ain't Havla Ela Eitza. Havla doesn't mean Havla. What is Havla? Advice. Sheyitin Ezer B'Shviv Manarchinim Lo Yasin Mishim Demokhar Alola B'Yoker. It's advice. Give it to him as a present, and you don't want to lose out, fine, he'll pay you more for the lulav. Right? But it's not a halacha. Biram La Rambam Yeshkan Halacha Mechudesh. It's the simple pshat of the Gemara, and the simple pshat of the Rambam who doesn't clarify is that Havla means Havla, like the Rash. Right? That as long as you buy the set and not the etrog, ein chalot din demei shviat noheget. There's no problem. Because it's given behavla. So now, why would you say this? So here, we come to possibly another model of Chora. And that is, that what's the problem of Chora? That you create demei peirot shviyah.
Well, yeah,
right? But as long as there's doubt, because you're buying the set, what does it do? It doesn't create demei peirot shviyah, because nothing is, right? That the only type there's a problem is that until now we've been talking about the fact that I assume that the creation of demei peirot shviyah is independent of Torah, according to most shittos. Right? Because even when you're allowed to sell, like for the Rambam, you're allowed to sell small quantities, but the money still becomes Kadosh. And therefore, the Isser isn't contingent on creation of Demei Peirot Shviyah. But according to this, it might be that it is. That any, or at least one directionally. Meaning, that as long as there isn't a direct connection between what I'm selling and the money, Demei Peirot Shviyah isn't created. And if that's the case, this can't be called a sale of Shemitah. Well, Rashi already thought that it was there to begin with. Remember, now, according to Rashi, right, now the funny thing is that according to Rashi, you could have said this easily, right? If someone had said this in Rashi, it wouldn't have blinked, which was, Rashi thinks that Skora is a Gzera, that you might misuse the money, and therefore, if you make it, then the money doesn't become Kadosh, there's no problem, right? But the Rav is trying to say this within the Rambam, so let's just continue what he says. He says, "V'leka chetzo shel shviyat, hamekach enam yuchad lechetzo shel shviyat." The sale is not designated only for the optic shmita. Shemach enu nichal b'din mekach shviyat, and therefore it's not a sale of shmita. Ubekach domed dina shel shviyat l'din schar shabbat shemavliyin and chalot iser schar shabbat. He said, "This is like Shabbat." V'chein v'dei shviyat havlod aliba da rama mave ha'ala. Allah had heter, but then treats that dumb b'shvir in eitz tova ba'alma kirashi. Okay, I'll be honest that this piece in the Rav doesn't satisfy me. Right, meaning all this piece in the Rav tells me is that the simple pshat of the Gemara and the simple pshat of the Rambam and almost definitely in the Rash, as the Chazon Ish notes, is that havla is an advice; it's a halacha. Right, that if I sell the set and not the fruit, it's mutter. Right. But for me, at least this piece in the Rav is more descriptive than it is, right, than it explains. It just tells me that Havla is a halacha, and that it's not usher.
It's very simple. It just doesn't make any sense.
Right, well, that's the problem, right? Right? Right, so again, I'm still not sure, right? I look at the Rav and I'm saying, I get it. I mean, you're describing what the Rav, what the Rambam just said and the Rosh said, but okay, you didn't create the major reader, it's not a sale. What does it mean? Right? Again, the simple pshat of the Rambam, like the Rash, is that if you pay for the set, it's fine. So the Sfat Emet tries to come up with a little twist, which again, I'm not convinced of. How does he solve it? Because it's such a weird Sfar. So what does he say? The Sfar says something shocking. You know what Havla really means? that the seller thinks he's selling you a set. And what does the buyer think? He's buying a lulav and an etzer as a present. Right? The Sfas Emes is so bothered by this that he says the chiddush isn't that it's mutter to buy a set. What's the chiddush? It's mutter to buy the lulav and conceptualize it. It's to buy the lulav and allow the seller to conceptualize it as selling you a set, but you conceptualize it as buying a lulav with a... Right, now the simple shot is you say this, and what we would say is that this Gemara is really saying Avlah is usur, it's just that the buyer is allowed to enter into a sale in which the seller will violate it if he has no other way, and as long as he conceptualizes it, b'derech heter. Right? Yeah, and then you would say, well, what about lifnei iver? I mean, right, the simple shot is really... Right? And again, this, the Sfas Emes, which is amazing that the Sfas Emes, maybe you'll say, maybe you'll, right, maybe you'll go farther and say, oh, maybe he thinks that as long as the buyer conceptualizes it as a gift, it's not schora. But then, that would counterintuitively put the primary formulation, or the primary prohibition of schora on the buyer, not the seller, which is the opposite of what we saw yesterday. So honestly, I'll say, I don't know, right? It could just be, right? Again, I don't know if I have a great explanation. It could just be that look, in the end of the day, what we learn from Hilchos Shabbos is that whenever you're mavliyayit, right, in the end of the day, if you can't pin it down, then it's not a sale for the esrog. It's like, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to really pin down. I mean, you can say, like, it's like a corporation, right? If you view a corporation as a corporate entity, it's not the sum of its parts. Right? Then what is it? It's a corporation. I don't know. It's a corporation. It is what it is. You mean it's not made up of any people? Yes. It's not made up of people. Right? We do have things like this. A corporate entity is a legal fiction. It could be that I've lost just a legal fiction. Right? That as long as I'm paying for the set, again, I think you could justify it differently. Right? You could say, listen, in the end of the day, maybe Schora is only when I treat this at, right? You could say that it's less of a commodification, right? If I buy the set, right? I mean, look, you know, it's like, you know, like let's say you go to the store, right? You don't want to buy non-kosher candy, but you look, and if you buy the kosher candy, right, it's a certain price, right? If you buy, like, the bag only of, I don't know, Twix, right? It's kosher. It's kosher, but it's more expensive. But if you buy, like, the big Halloween pack, right, the mix, right, it's on sale or on Halloween, so it's cheaper. And you look at it, you see that four out of the five things that they mix in are kosher, and one of them is not, right? So you look at it and you say, am I buying non-kosher food? I mean, psychologically, I'm asking you. Right, you look at it and you say, you're buying non-kosher food. You'll say, on the one hand, I am. On the other hand, like, no, I'm just trying to get a deal on the kosher ones, right? And, like, the non-kosher ones I'll throw out, I'll give away, or whatever. I mean, we'll see in the beginning. When we get to Zion Aleph, we'll get to the question of whether you're allowed to do that. Right? I mean, remember, Zion Aleph, which is where the Yerushalmi discusses this, is the primary source in Shas, Bavli or Yerushalmi, for the possible isser of selling non-kosher food, right? So we're going to come back to this. Right? Right? And what I want you to do when you read Zion Aleph, as soon as we finish this, is to figure out why this is the paradigmatic sugya. Okay? So it could just be that, look, sometimes it's true. You actually bought it. You did. And nevertheless, at some level, you didn't. Right? Like, you did, but you didn't. Right? I mean, I bought it. I mean, I knew what I was buying. Right? It's just like, but you can look at it and say, but I wasn't really buying it. I was buying the bag. Because it was cheaper. I wanted Twix and M&M's and whatever, right? And, you know, I did the math. If I bought a bag of, bought just the Twix and just the M&M's, right? And not the, whatever, what?
Sour Patch,
whatever it was. You know, it would be more expensive. But the Halloween pack was cheaper, right? So I got a better deal on the candy that I wanted. So yes, did I know I was paying for the non-kosher candy? Yes, I did. Was I paying for it? I mean, yes, right? I mean, I was, right? I know I was. And nevertheless, at some level, you weren't. You were buying the bag, right? So it could be that in the end of the day, why is Havla Mutter?
You bought the mixture.
Because I bought the mixture, and I don't know if it's just a function of Demet Peretriot, or that's just indicative of the fact, right? The fact that you can't point to it, to any single object, and say, this is what I paid for, might more be, right, a Gilling Mill stuff. So the fact that, now again, is it, but now, right, so this is where, right, and this is why I said, good, so, right, no, so this is why I said, Havla'a, especially if you understand like the Rambam, right, does seem to sharpen the sugya, because, first of all, it really limits what we mean by there's an issur of merchandising, right, of commodifying, because you're saying, listen, I'm even allowed to do it as long as I don't do it by itself, right? It's only like a direct affront to the, but anything, right, a little bit less is mutar, right? That's already a chiddush. And as Kovi said, you know, for all the talk in Rashi about the insistence that you treat the money properly, right, this ends up the opposite, which is, no, I mean, right, especially within the Rambam, it's shocking, right? If the Rashi had said, I wouldn't be surprised, because according to Rashi, the whole point is that you might misuse the money. So if I can prevent the money in a legitimate way from becoming kadosh, great, right? But the Rashi didn't say it. Rashi came up with matana, right? The Rambam, who thinks that the Isser is merchandising, right, is commodifying, is the one who says, ah, havla just means I'm paying for both together.
It's kind of like how I was reading the Rambam. It's retroactively, it really happened in the end, it's just about the mix.
So that's the Sfas-Emes, right? Meaning the Sfas-Emes, right, said it's a retroactive revelation that I never really... Havla is a way of saying that I'm treating it as if I'm not buying it, right? Which again is a chiddush psychologically, it puts the onus on the buyer rather than the seller, right, which is a bunch of chiddushim there. Or... No, I understand. It's impossible not to look at this and say that there is a chiddush here and that it sheds light on all of it. I mean, but let's see. I mean, again, if you have a better idea, I'm not sure I can put my finger on it, right? I mean, Havla clearly is being mechadesh something here. I'm not sure I have a perfect formulation for it. Okay. Rishon Zalman. Now there is a now what's a nafkamina, guys? What's a nafkamina? So one potential nafkamina, right, is let's say you're going. Remember we talked about the case of heter mechira or whatever case where you're choshesh, so you don't want to buy it, right? So according to Rashi, can you go into a store and say, well, I'm buying all this stuff together and now it's mutter? No, obviously not, right? You would have to articulate and say, if I pay you double for the hand sanitizer, whatever, for the mask, right? Can you give me, right? He's like, I'm about to go and be doing it. If I pay you double for the hand sanitizer, can you give me the comfort foods for free, right? I mean, like, right, if I can conceptualize that. But, so Rishon Zalman actually thinks you have to do that, right? You can't just, according to the Rambam, on the other hand, well, it's hard. What would you say? If you go into a store and you just buy everything, according to the Rambam, it still sounds like a duster. Why?
Because
you get a receipt that, right, you're not buying the set, right?
Well, maybe the fact that it's no longer receipt makes the
set. Right. On the other hand, you might say, maybe according to the Rambam, I'm not, right? Maybe. Right, maybe. Okay. So now let's read this one line of the Yerushalmi. Like I said, when we finish this sugya as a sugya, we're gonna have to plug it in the Yerushalmi. Okay, right? So first we're getting the heavy lifting done of doing the sugya, right? And again, there's more sugyas in Bavli we didn't do. This isn't just to get our feet wet with a week of the sugya, and then we'll spend a few days actually reading it into the Yerushalmi. But let's now read one line in the Yerushalmi Shviat, right? So the seventh, so Zayin Aleph says, Tani, Hachen v'nishay mevashel yirakot v'shvi'it, right, who's cooking vegetables, right? Lo yeh mechashev tzchar ol dmei shviat, al hachashev hu ala yayin v'ala shemen v'ala havtala. Exactly, right? So if you own a restaurant, right, if you own a restaurant, essentially, how would you manage to sell fruit, things which are kadosh? So if you are making a quiche with Kedusha Shviat spinach, I don't know, is there a vegetable you like better in your quiche?
Oh, yeah. I think the
Broccoli, fine. Yalla, broccoli. What? Fine. You're making a potato knish. Fine, a potato burrata. Fine. So what do? So you say, I'm not charging you. You say, Josh, I know that you think potatoes are worth eating, but that's not what I'm paying. You're not paying me for the potatoes. You're paying me for the burrata, for the knish, for the shell, for the whatever, and for the time it took. Right? So, but that's what the Yerushalmi says, right?
I feel like that's
contradicting the Spot Emmet. Yes. Very good. Right, the Yerushalmi seems to go against Spot Emmet because it seems to put the...
Is the Spot Emmet going to go like, ask the Yerushalmi?
I don't know. Right? So, wow, look at that. It was amazing.
Wow.
What type of quiche?
We don't know. Nobody likes the flat.
Last time was mushroom and spinach.
Okay.
That's not quiche. That's breakfast. Very
good. Okay. There you go. So, but you're right. Right? The simple shot of the Yerushalmi, and again, we're going to do the Yerushalmi more inside, but the simple shot of the Yerushalmi is against the Spaz Emet because it says, right? Very good. The Yerushalmi, the simple shot is the Isser is fundamentally not, right, the Lokech is not part of it. It's that the Mocher needs to make it clear that he's not really selling Terot Shviat, right? Now, the Ridbaz has a question, and he says, okay, but is this a good deal, right? Again, we're going to see it in the Yerushalmi more, but for the moment, let's just get through the basics, right? The Ridbaz says, okay, the Yerushalmi says that I tell Josh that I'm selling him my labor and the dough on the Kanish or Bereka, right? What if I just say I'm selling my labor? Meaning, I am now selling him, right? Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Because
you're not selling a Bereka, you're selling a baked potato, right? Right? Meaning, the Ridbaz is asking the question, is the Yerushalmi Dafka, that you can only be Mavliya labor plus other food, which is not Kadosh? Or can I just sell you labor, right? Can I sell you a Kedusha Shviat baked potato and claim to you that I'm not selling you a Kedusha Shviat baked potato? I'm selling you...
The butter.
No. That's not what he's saying. Can I sell you...
If you already are acknowledging the fact that you need other ingredients within this thing...
No, so it's just a baked potato. So I'm not. I'm just selling a baked potato. So that's his question. Is the Yerushalmi being dafka or not? Is Yerushalmi just describing the normal case, which is I made a,
No, but I'm talking about...
that's the Ridbaz's question, right? That Yerushalmi says labor plus other food. The Ridbaz says, what if it's just labor and not other food?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
But he's saying that you're selling the butter that's inside of the baked potato.
So you could, but he's saying, what if it was
the butter that's inside, like it's already made?
No, I understand. Correct, so that,
no way to separate it.
Correct, but that seems to be fine.
Why?
But he's saying, what if it's a non-buttered, what if it's a non-buttered baked potato? So I'm literally only selling you my labor. Am I allowed to do that? So the Ridbaz says, that seems to be the simple shot here. What do you mean? That's what I'm doing. That's what you're showing me. That seems to be what it's saying, no?
I don't understand you. Tell me, why didn't even bother
right?
mentioning
it? What do you mean? I cooked it together. You can separate it, and you cooked the vegetable in oil. The oil is absorbed. Really? If I sold you French fries, and I said, I'm selling you the French fries and not the oil, you think they can be separated? Have you ever had a French fry? Come on.
I better get them from
wait,
you can just breathe it
squeeze!
Out.
Right. Okay, fine. So the Ridbaz says, "Ubegufa heter lavliya dan avin babtsira babavalu l'ira masamela hutaut gadol lechalil lavliya gam demay anavin v'lagnov dar elyon bazer la'alochol ma'ida ain heter avla elu b'mocher shneiminim." He says you can't do it. You're not allowed to sell labor alone, meaning to sell something and claim you're selling labor. It is dafka tuminim mavliya min echa bechavero v'lo b'min echa ach v'shneiminim mavliya kagon demay etrog v'lula. Right? Right, so the Ridbaz says, no, it's davka. You can't just sell labor. Now, why would you say that? What would motivate him? I mean, it could be just a diuk in the Yerushalmi.
He can't point it out.
Right. Meaning it could be that, what does he think havlah? Havlah has to be that I confused the sale itself. Right? That within the food itself, I'm no longer, right? Because as much as it's hard to pin your finger on why havlah is mutter, the key for the Ridbah seems to be that the sale itself, within the food, within the object that I'm selling, right, it's not purely kedushat shviyah. Right? And therefore, I can have this legal fiction, and that's apparently enough to solve the sora. But if I'm selling you a baked potato with no butter, with no nothing, right, and I'm selling you my time, so then that doesn't work. Because if I was selling you your time, what should I have done? I should have said, listen, go buy a potato and I'll bake it for you, right? Pay me in advance, right? But that's not what I'm doing, right? Right? It's not what I'm doing. Or, to put it differently, right, let's say it takes me 5 minutes to get of effort to deal with a baked potato, right? And it also takes me 5 minutes to make a really, really fancy coffee. Fine? What am I going to charge you more for? Right, probably the fancy coffee, right? The fact that, right, but wait, it's 5 minutes, right? And in a hanami, the coffee took me more time. It took me more time. I went to barista school, right? Right. You don't need to go to school to be to make a baked potato. I know. Some of us have difficulty with easy things like boiling eggs. I know.
There you go.
Okay, so it could just be that he thinks that it doesn't work, right? Now, Rav Kook, in the context of selling etrogim, says, the Rav Kodemil de Roy Lahadun Amokha Shakal Dami Urak Ba'ara Kelim Bachavila, right, as a practical advice, right, following the Chumrah, right, this Chumrah, what does he say? That if you are going to sell the Lulav, just an etrog, right, he says, let's say you want to use Heter Mechira, so you are going to sell the etrog straight. But he says, but still, I want you to do some sort of avlah, just, right, l'rav chadimilta, in case heter mechira doesn't work. So he says, what's the best way of doing it? Either you do it with the lulav, or if you don't want to do it with the lulav, do it at least with the box. I'm selling you the box, the container, right?
Yeah, of course. Cardboard.
Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman argues that it's supposed to be sevir. Yesh lagvid avlati es svira, v'lo yavio peretri shavim mane v'peretri hashavim prut. It has to be reasonable, right? It can't be like, oh, I am being mavlia $1,000 of potatoes with a stick of butter. Lo yitachen. Now again, it could be that if you take this, if you think it needs to be reasonable, it could just be that the reason you do this is because, again, havlah is hard to understand to begin with. No, it's just that havlah has to be, like, legitimate. That
has to be genuine.
Yeah, meaning, in the end of the day, maybe that's really the argument, right? If you say, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that, because what's Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think, getting at? It's not just that you can't put your finger on it. It's that reasonably, when you buy the set, it could be looked at as if you were buying just the lulav, right? Right, or that you were paying for the lulav, right? Meaning, maybe that's the key to havlah, is that at the end of the day, as long as it's reasonable, right? Meaning, if I pay $100 for a set of lulav and esrog, so people do buy $100 lulavim, right? They buy really fancy lulavim. So it's not like crazy, even though I'm buying the set, it's not crazy, crazy, crazy to conceptualize it as if I'm really buying the lulav, right? But if, you know, the going rate for lulavim is $10, and I pay, right, and I pay $500, right, because lulavim are harder to possel, and the srogim are easier, right? So it's not reasonable anymore. So again, I'm not sure I have a great handle on why havlah works here. But, right, I don't know, this is what I got. Okay, One more case that we'll quickly look at, and then tomorrow, I guess, let's start with Zion al-Ghalib and plug it in, right? Again, you'd be surprised how little there actually is, and then we're going to really spell it out more later in the eighth parak, but we do need to see Zion al-Ghalib, and I want you to think about why it's connected to selling Makar Shavuot in general. And that is the case of Kinyan Bahakafa. And Kinyan Bahakafa is where, now what's Kinyan Bahakafa? You get through Kinyan Bahakafa? Okay, so let's do it quickly. It means buying on credit. Okay, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, this is on page 11, says that the Bei Rabbi Yanai Yasvi Pershit Me'anim Uparlu B'Shminit Atu Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Amalei Yahu Hein Avdim. Right, so what did he do? Rabbi Yanai would lend Peiro Shviat to the poor people, and they would pay it back in year 8. Okay, and the Gemara says that was fine. The implication here is that the money does not become kadosh. So Tosfos says, Yon hei avden. Techevin davishai de lo havu hanach be'en lo chalipin inhu. He says, since the money isn't present now, right, they're paying in the next year, right? They're paying you back, right? Yeah, apparently they did, right? So he says, simply because the money doesn't exist yet, they don't become kadosh. V'lo chayal alayv edushat shviyat. And therefore, he says, you could even do the following. I could go to Shlomo and say, here are my bananas, right? Shlomo would eat the banana and then pay me. That would also prevent Kedushat Shviat from taking effect on the money because the money isn't transferring hands while the Peir Shviat still exists, and therefore the Kedusha... What? Right? Right? So you could have just said, well, that makes sense, because I'm just giving it a gift. But Tosfos is mechadesh that hakafa is the same as havla'a. So look at Tosfos. He says, Vahid amin belulav agazul, dimavliya dimayetrog belulav, hu adin below havla'a, imayaharetz rotza la'akif achi yichla etrog below ayakan dimeshviyet. Tosfos says, really, there was another option. You could do havla'a, or you could do hakafa, meaning that there's another solution. Either you could buy the set lulav and esrog, but you could just as easily, what? Right, say, Kobe, give me an esrog. I'll pay you back after I made it into esrog jelly and ate it.
He's going to Rashi.
No, he's not going to Rashi. Yeah, which Rashi?
The Rashi says you're
getting
out of my tongue.
No, he's not. No, he's not. That's not what he says. He's not saying, he's saying it's hakafa. Hakafa is buying on credit. I'm buying it. Right? He says, he's going the opposite. He's going like the Rambam. He's saying, right, that, now what it seems very clear from Tosfos, right, Tosfos is saying, how could you equate havla with buying on credit? Only if you think that what? That havlah solves the problem simply because it's not even just that you can't identify that you're buying the etrog. Right? Tosfos seems to be mechadesh, that's not what it is. It's that any sale in which you prevent the money from becoming kadosh, either by being mavliyah so you can't identify it, or by eating the etrog before you pay, by definition can't be schora. Right? Now, it seems to be that when you take this all together, this position in Tosfos is introducing a chiddush. That what is the key to havla'ah? That, now again, I don't know if this defines the entire concept of kinyan or it just tells you that there's an exception.
So do either need to keep the...
That you can solve the problem either by preventing you from identifying, right? Or by selling it and preventing the money from, right? Why? I don't know, right? Maybe Tosfos just thinks that a kinyan requires, right? In order for it to be aser b'schora, there needs to be, now again, it could be on top of the other models, but that schora can only be aser if, as part of the transaction, I transferred the peiro shviat and money took on its kedusha, because that makes it that a sale of peiro shviat happens. No, that's exactly the point, right? A chov can't, right? That's what he's saying. For me, this is a huge chiddush, right? Meaning, again, I'm still uncomfortable with it, right? For me, the svara of Rashi makes a lot more sense. But what all of this seems to imply is that havla'ah, right? The point of havla'ah is simply if I prevent money from being identified and attached to the Kedusha Shviyah, then whatever you think is going on, you can't define it as Kinyan Teret Shviyah. You just can't.
It's not the same thing. At the time of the sale, with the blood, there's still two things there.
I know, and Tosfos equates them. I understand. No, Kobe, if you came and said Havla is not the same as a Kaf, Kobe, if you came and said Havla is not the same as a Kaf, I would have said you're right. But Tosfos doesn't, right? So, good. To say that Havla, no, I agree with you. 100% I agree with you. No, I agree with you that it's easier Mitzvah to say Kaf and Havla are not the same. But Tosfos thinks they are the same. And the only way you can say it is that according to him, an exception to the rule of Kinyan is as long as no money can be legally attached to the payout, then it's just not Sora.
This is like the most easiest way to ask
now, Sora. Oh, very good. So,
you just don't need to be the same person.
Right? And the Nitziv, by the way, says that this is what he tried to do. When the Nitziv wanted to buy an Esrog from Eretz Yisrael, he just asked them to let him buy on credit. Right? That was the Nitziv's solution. Now, once you put Tosfos in the mix, and again, I agree that the Svara here, for me, is very complicated. Maybe as we go through the Yerushalmi, a light will click, but for me right now, all I have is that this is like an exception to all rules, right? Is that whatever you think the Yisrael Svara is, there's an exception, which is that if I can in some way make it that no money can be identified, it just can't be Svara, whatever you think Svara is.
But it has to be the same person that and sold the price.
But I understand. No, this is, no, not all, remember, Tosfos and different receptors are written by different people.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is just, assume this is not that Tosfos. Theoretically, sure. Right? Right? And then Tosfos goes even farther. Tosfos has one more line, and again, I can't tell you it makes sense. I can only tell you Tosfos says it. And that is, look at the end of 11. V'od ha'osif Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Re said that afilu lo machram, ela kevin shemashkam etel kodem shi'itin adamim. He says, I have an even better solution. Right? I don't even need the fruit to be destroyed before they pay the money. I just need to, right, do mashicha before I give the money. That's it. That's it. You solve the whole problem by doing mashicha before you give the money. Because then the kidding happened. The money is a hole.
So, you rather than give me money.
Correct. Correct. That's correct.
Cash register.
Correct.
You're good.
No, as long as you say to the guy, listen, can I pay you? I'm picking this up. It's mine now. And I'll pay you as soon as I load my cart. Right? Or even as soon as I pick it up and put it in my bag, he says, enough. Again, is this crazy? Yes, but the only way I can understand Tosfos, there's two ways to understand Tosfos for me, okay? One, let me try to, one way to understand this whole sugya, including this insane Tosfos, is to say that this only works according to a Rashi-like understanding of Torah. Is it the only problem of, right, again, if you hold like Rashi and Torah, this all makes sense, which is, the only problem with Sora is the money might get misused. So if I can in any way make it that the money doesn't become Kadosh, then the money won't be misused, and therefore it's not Usher. Agreed?
Yeah.
Right? Is that agreed? One second.
Yeah.
Right? If the only problem with Sora is the money might be misused, then come up with some loophole that the money isn't attached to the payroll and it's not Kadosh, and it's solved. If you think that no, there's an actual Isser called Sora, it's about relating to it in a certain way, how any of this makes any sense, I don't know, unless you just think that there's a technical exception that gets you out, which is, if the money is not attached to the payroll legally, then come what may, you can't define it conceptually as a Kenyan. Do I think this is crazy? You're asking me, how does it make sense? That's all I have for you. That's all I have for you. I don't know what to tell you. Yes, Mordechai.
That
he says
that you can buy it through credit. So the problem is that credit is a legitimate and accepted way of buying things. So even if you hand the money afterwards, then it's fine.
Right, now...
If you buy it on credit, that you don't acknowledge that you're going to give the guy money afterwards, even though you obviously will, then fine. But that's still a little bit weird. But if you buy it on credit, like, if people use credit cards,
Hold your phone. 2 seconds. No, it's not. 2 seconds. No, Mordechai. 2 seconds. Mordechai. Minus 2 seconds. Now, I will note that, look, I've told you what I think the explanation is of the Tosfos. I'm also telling you I'm not sure it's mutter. Why? Look, the Ramban says what I'm thinking and what you're all thinking. Okay, guys. The Ramban says what you're all thinking. The Ramban says, this is what the Ramban says on Tosfos, right? End of 11. Vani tamea od. I am shocked. Im gein mashach meno perut shvir acha nadlo mo in vatin va'anan derech mekach umemkar ka'amrina. He said, really? You do mashiach and then you pay? It doesn't work? We said it's usher to do it as a sale. You know, a sale. This is a sale. So he's just like, He's like, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Now, despite as weird as this is, the Chazon Ish tries to defend it on 12, and he says, look after the ellipse. He says, Mew time a bite. He says, I gotta explain it. Came to Kfar Kana Pera, Bechobama Perelo, Mali Kaberola, Mali Lekaberolam. He says, Tosus makes a lot of sense to me. He says, I don't understand. I did Mashiach. Who cares if the fruit exists or not? The whole point is that the way I'm relating to it is paying off a loan and not as a transaction. Right? That's it. Right? And paying is just, as he says, a kiyuma tonight. So apparently what I said, it sounds crazy to me. Tosus just says, look, you know what the svarta all of this is? Yeah. If the, right, in the end of the day, what's the, for the Chazon Ish, what is the svara for all of this? To have law, to hakafa, is that, in the end of the day, something is not a mekach unless you're paying money for perishviyat. If you are giving perishviyat and paying back a loan later, that's not a sale.
I agree. Any moment that I have the fruit in my hand, that I've decided to, like, claim it for myself, and I walk over to the cash register.
Yes.
I'm just paying off the loan.
That's what he says.
I can just pay in cash.
Yeah, you want to hear something even more shocking? One second, you want to hear something more shocking?
Sure, fine.
Can I just tell? Yeah? The Chazon Ish actually paskins this way. Lahalacha. Last line, underline. Why? Why? And this is why. He says, V'nira, demachar ba'kafa yeslahakel kadada taisvei, you should be makil. Why? Came in the Shvi'at with Manazid, there are Bonan of Shelto from Halacha Charmekel. He says, because Shvi'at is there are Bonan, so what do you want, right?
Fine.
Now, by the way, I was listening to last...
So
I was listening to a shir last night. There's a podcast, if you guys want to do a little chazara and a little expansion. Right, Dr. Ari Bergman has a podcast, 12 to 15 minutes a week, called The Experience of Shemitah, like mini shir once a week on ideas in Shemitah. So I was listening... Yeah, it's English.
Okay.
So I listened to like the whole series last night. You listen on it's 15 minutes a week. You listen on triple speed, it doesn't take so long. Right? So listen to like half of it on my way, half of it, whatever. It was very nice.
How many
but 20 right now. So 20, anyways. No, you skip it a little. Anyway, yeah. A trip and a bit. So the Chazon Ish, so he said that someone asked the Chazon Ish, and he said, wait a second. You're telling me, right, left, right, and center, the Chazon Ish, right, consistently, I think Rav Schechter might have mentioned this, right, that Rav Kook had one big kula in Shvi'at, but everything else he was machmir on, right? The Chazon Ish didn't believe in after Mechira, but he has a million kula that enable you to keep Shemitah, okay? No, this is what, right? So someone wants to ask the Chazon Ish, apparently, so are you telling me that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to paskin like it, because all your halachot are based on, well, it might be true, Safik Darman Lahakel, and he said, yes. I am paskening Shemitah until the time of Mashiach, right? When Mashiach comes, they can pasken Shemitah differently. But this is the psak of Shemitah until Yimaz Mashiach. So again, but this is the best I got, is that all these shittot are explaining that whatever you think about Shemitah, there's an exception, which is anytime through whatever mechanism and loopholes you can come up with, you can somehow argue that the money you're paying is not attached to the transaction, it's not a sale, and apparently that's all he wants, right? Again, am I comfortable with this? No. Is it what Tosus seems to think?
Yes.
Yes. Is it what the Chazon Ish thinks? 100% yes. Is it bothering me deeply in the core of the essence of my soul? Yes, my soul is screaming out that this is not, right? Like there's Torah that resonates with you and Torah that you're just like, I want to yell. Does it make me comfortable? No, it doesn't make me comfortable. What do you want from my life? It doesn't make me comfortable, right? It might be halach lemaisa. I don't know. But it's, conceptually, is it bothering me? Of course it is. Yeah.
You say, I'm not buying the actual fruit. I'm buying the ability to do a kinyan on the fruit. Would that be okay?
What?
I'm buying the ability to do a kinyan on the fruit. I'm not buying the actual fruit.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's basically the klam sofer. Yeah, you were mechaving to the next source, which is... the Chasam Sofer seems to say that even according to the Ramban, you could solve it. How? As long as I get the guy to agree to relate to it, not as a sale, but as give me the object and then I will pay back a chov later, then it's enough. And the Chasam Sofer argues that that's what the Ramban means, and he's not willing to accept the radical Tosos, so he thinks really Tosos and the Ramban mean the same thing. This is what they mean. Right, which is, he says, "Bevadai kosher to omid v'chalivah biyado aser." If I stand there, right, with the money in my hand, the object, that's aser. Afilu yimshal aser tchila. V'lo mayr on the kivul achar sha'a yavi chalivah. The chayvan shekodem to the parek par lakach zayayin nezach to lo nasa chalivin. V'hadav edik enamar drot to lakim afilu shakala. He said, "Why? So why? Now that there's the akasha, which is hanging over all of us, which is." If this is true, if you can get solve all the problems, this little thing, why didn't the Gemara just by Esrog say, give him the Esrog and then pay it back as a loan a minute later? And the answer is, what's Klum Sofer's answer? The Amaris didn't want to do that. Okay, I don't know what you want in my life. Okay? That's what he says. Right? He says, we're talking about a case.
All right.
Yep. Therefore, so at the end of the day, the Chasam Sofer, the Chazon Ish, I don't know what to tell you, right? The Chazon Ish, the Chasam Sofer.
I don't like that.
This is the Chasam Sofer. But again, I mean, he says it, right? I mean, he says it. I mean, he says it. Now, the Rav Tukhachinsky doesn't really agree with this. And Rav Tukhachinsky said that, he says that might work if you're trading fruit for fruit. Because maybe I'm giving you a gift, you're giving me a gift. But he's like, money? Come on. Right? He says, right? But he says, if I give you money for your fruit, he's like, that's not a matana. We're the chove afterwards. I mean, give me a break. He's like, you want to say, I give you a banana as a present, you gave me an apple. I mean, maybe. But, oh, you gave me a banana and I gave you exactly 30 cents as a present back. I mean, come on, right? So Tukhachinsky is like, look, yesh gvul, there is a limit. Yeah, like it needs to be somewhat reasonable.
Whenever you have an opportunity to do it in a normal way, you have to. But if you're only selling through our company, then you should be allowed to. That should work fine.
Now, based on this, very quickly, I won't read this to you inside, but the Or L'Tzion, Rav B'Tzion Abba Shaul, he has another expression of this. He says, listen, L'chazchila, he would rather only rely on the more machmir tosfot, which is that it's only mutter du akafa to pay after you already ate the fruit, right?
Yeah.
But he says, B'di'avad, like Chazon Ish, he's willing to be mekel, right? And therefore he says, if you're willing to rely on that crazy sheet of tosfos, right? She says, I have a very easy solution. How can you solve all the Sora problems in the universe? Pay by check. Right? Pay by check. And what does Yaakov Ariel say? Pay by credit card. There you go. That's it. Right? He says, right? Because a credit card is hakafa. He says, that's it. Right? And what we have now done is we have, you understand, we have now, yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. We have now taken what seems to be a fundamental principle about how you're supposed to lay a pair of trees and said, as long as, now remember, this is in a cashless society where literally I never have cash on me. I only buy things with credit cards because that's Israel. Yes, and nevertheless, but it only is your rate at the end of the month, so it's hakafa, and you can't pin it down, and therefore no money exists and transferred hands, and therefore, yes, what we have now emerged, according to Rabbi Yaakov Ariel, so again, right, so therefore, right, so I don't know what to tell you, right, in the end of the day, what we've come to is that the only way I can take this is like as an exception, right, because otherwise it makes no sense to me. Okay, Tomorrow, guys, tomorrow, read through all of Zion Aleph, right? It barely discusses it, but I want you at least to see Zion Aleph and ask, in what, right? Try to understand the basics of why this is connected, of all things, to selling not kosher food. I'm not sure I have a great answer for it, right? But we're going to continue to flesh out the fundamentals in Zion Aleph, and then Ched Dalet, Ched Hey, etc. And the rest of the Aspheric really spells out some of the conceptual issues. But that at least is the overview of Sarah, okay?